Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Up on Cripple Creek by the band, singer, drummer, and East Arkansas native Levon Helm, the late, great Levon Helm, born on this day in 1940.
You were surprised by the pregame message at the Heat game?
Yeah, I got the sense the people in the building were a little bit, just not, that they would, I don't think it's normal for pro sports teams to take a specific legislative position. Like they mentioned some specific bill, I think must be it's like a state legislature thing in Florida.
And they said Collier, literally had the moment of silence, whatever, and then they have the Collier, basically call your local officials and gave the phone number out. Like it was
right.
Yeah, it was really kind of remarkable to see. Also remarkable to see that basketball game last night. What the hell is going on, Chris? This is atrocious.
Well, I mean, you know, playoffs tend to get like this sometimes. I mean, the defense amps up.
Right.
The players are worn down. It becomes a little bit of a struggle. I think as the series wears on and, you know, there's injury issues all around, I think Miami seems like, you know, it's hard to find answers against that Boston defense, which was the best defense in basketball this season. And so it sort of feels like now, I mean, you know, there's still a game to play at least in both series, but it sort of feels like both of these series are over to me.
What happened with Boston? So midway through the series, they're sub .500, and people are wondering whether Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have to be broken up and whether this is going to work, et cetera. Where was the key to the turnaround?
Well, I mean, I wasn't watching every Boston Celtics game, but, I mean, they had a new head coach, and so sometimes with a new head coach, maybe it takes a little time to get things, you know, to get things where you want them to be. And maybe they're growing pains with a new coach. And I think that is maybe the biggest part of it, is that it just took time for Ime Udoka to get everything in the direction he wanted it to go. I mean, this is still a team that has the bones in terms of Tatum and Brown and Smart of a team that's been in conference finals multiple times. Like, they aren't new to this. If they break through, they'll be new to the NBA finals. But those three players have played in multiple conference finals together already.
And then they made some, and then they also made some smart at the margin roster decisions too. You know, they get Derek White, Schroeder's gone. Like, I think that probably helped as well. As you see the Celtics struggle in their own right to, like, certainly in the first half struggle to score, how do you see the matchup with Golden State? As someone here, my rooting interest is for Golden State to lose. What are the chances that Golden State will lose to a Boston team that is banged up in its own right?
Well, I think that's the first question, is who's going to be healthier. And right now the odds of that seem in Golden State's favor, given the series Boston's coming out of. And how healthy is Boston going to be when they get into that series? I think that's the first question. And the second question after that, to me, is how well Boston's going to score against the Golden State defense. Boston, you know, people don't think of Golden State this way, but Golden State was second defensively, and they were like 15th offensively on the season. So these would be the two top-ranked defenses in basketball this season if they meet in the finals, and that hasn't happened at least in the last 25 years. I think, you know, to me, the feature attraction is Boston defense against the Golden State offense, and to see how Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole do against the best defense in basketball. But the other side of that might be more determinative, in the sense of I think the Celtics need a big Jason Tatum series. I think they need Jason Tatum to be a 25-30 point a game player at least, in that series. If Boston gets healthy and they get good Tatum, I think Boston has a good chance to win that series. But I think there's more reason for concern given the series they're coming out of and how banged up they are.
It's interesting, and I wonder from the perspective of the Grizzlies, if Golden State has been a terrific defensive team, even with Steph Curry on the floor, and he is not a good defensive player, right? He is affirmatively a
I think Steph Curry is an underrated defensive player. I think because he's sort of scrawny and he shoots a lot of people, like he's not Ja Morant or Trae Young. He's not Gary Payton or anything.
Right.
But he's at least an average NBA defender in that position.
I guess that's my larger point. Obviously, they've got Draymond, they've got Clay. When Clay was healthy, all world defender. Now they have Jordan Poole, who can't really guard either.
Poole is bad.
Poole is bad. So, but they have had spectacular defenders around Steph Curry, and Steph Curry is despite his build, is at least a credible defender. Can Ja get to be a credible defender in the Steph Curry mold? Because in the end, that will be part of this, won't it? Well, the Grizzlies' success.
Yeah, no, I think Ja can get better as a defender and get to that credible stage. But I also think, and this is something I'm fiddling with writing today, maybe it'll be up tomorrow, I think it's the Grizzlies' approach to the offseason. When you ask, and I'm sort of spoiling the column a little bit, but I'll just do it. I mean, when you ask sort of what do they need, I mean, people are going to say, well, you need a backup point guard, you need a big wing. Everyone always says you need a shooter or all this. I think the real need is you need to improve your half-court offense without sacrificing your defense. And I say not sacrificing your defense because you can't afford to have – if John, the team's most indispensable offensive player is also its worst defensive player. And I don't think that's going to change, even if John Morant gets better. And so, yeah, you want him to get better defensively, but you also have to build a team that doesn't have other points of weakness the way that you did a year ago against Utah with Grayson Allen and Valanciunas. I think you have to find a way to help John Morant in half-court offense without putting other weak defensive players around him. I think you can't have more weak defensive players. You already got the one. And the one is so great offensively, you're willing to have that. But you can't have more bad defenders on the team, which they don't right now. But I think they have to be conscious of protecting that defense as they change the roster.
Zaire Williams isn't great, but can be, right? I'm trying to think of who they have who's not a good defender. It really...
Yeah, no, well, Zaire Williams, I think he was generally a bad defender last year, but that's not a permanent state. That's
exactly.
A temporary state with him. And so as you're projecting out, you're not projecting him to be a bad defender. I think you're projecting him to be a good defender over time. And so that's sort of what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, we will talk more about it when the column comes up. I'm curious if someone asked me this on Twitter. We were just talking about my friend John Canzano in Portland said that in 2024 the league might expand to Seattle and Las Vegas. And that's good from the Grizzlies' perspective, I think. Although I'm not particularly worried about the Grizzlies relocating at any point and haven't been since they arrived here, you know, but whatever. See, taking Seattle off the market would seem to me to be a good thing. If that happens, do you imagine that Memphis might get moved, conceivably could be moved to the East? And would you like to be moved to the East? Let's start with that. Let's start with, would you like to be in the East?
I would say generally, yes, although I think you have to be careful about assuming that for, like, competitive reasons of where the good teams are, because that's not a permanent state.
Right.
I think for travel reasons, I suspect if you talked to Grizzlies people, and I have talked about this a little bit with Hollinger before, like, you know, what from a total travel scheduling standpoint, I think they would serve them better in the East. Set aside the competitive team stuff, because that can change. I think structurally, in terms of travel, it would be better for them in the East, a little bit, like, marginally, probably. I don't think they'll be moved. I don't think there's a rationale for them to be the team. Everyone says this, and everyone's just wrong. Like the logical move is Minnesota. If you're going to follow geographic logic, the team that should move is Minnesota. Now, I don't know if that'll be what they follow, but I don't know what else you would follow.
Is it Minnesota? We're both on the Mississippi. So not one isn't further east than the other, is it? Like one is clustered up there in the Northeast. Yes.
Think about Minnesota relative to the team geographically, relative to the teams they're currently in a division with. Utah, Portland, Denver, Oklahoma City, relative to the teams they would be in a division with if it changed. Milwaukee, Chicago,
right?
And now think of Memphis. Memphis is in a division with New Orleans and Dallas.
Dallas makes sense.
Houston. Like, it's not that bad.
No, you're exactly right. Is that by the way, sort of understood what would likely happen? Is there any? I mean, what I don't want you to talk to Hollinger about. There's an understanding.
I don't know if there's an understanding. There's not an understanding because you'll still hear. Last year, I was listening to, I'll just say it, it was the ESPN podcast with Windhorst and Brian Windhorst and Tim Fontemps and Tim McMahon, and they did a whole conversation about this. I'm walking around in the supermarket listening to this, losing my mind, because they spent 25 minutes talking about what two teams are going to move. Like, you had Seattle and Las Vegas, which two teams are going to move east. And I'm friends with Fontemps. I just texted him. I'm like, dude, what are you people talking about? And he was very chagrined because he realized after the podcast was over, none of them realized throughout the 30-minute conversation that only one team would move, not two. So we got to first get around the math of how many teams move.
And then it's only one, and it's Minnesota. I hate to say it. You're exactly right. I honestly don't think, to your larger point, I don't like the late, you know, you wouldn't, I guess you'd have fewer late games if you were in the East, maybe. You'd have fewer late games, I guess, if you're in the East. But, like, beyond that, it makes sense to be with Dallas. It makes sense to be with New Orleans. It actually makes sense, and you're exactly right. It may be that sometimes the West is harder than the East, but sometimes the East will be harder than the West. I'm not even particularly motivated to need to move.
Yeah, the Grizzlies divisional setup is good, actually. The problem is, I think if you go back historically, you'll see that the West Coast road trips, the California Pacific Northwest road trips, are much worse for the Grizzlies than the East Coast road trips. And partly maybe that's about the teams, but I also think it's about the travel.
Yeah. And you have more of, I mean, obviously, East Coast teams go West too, but less often. You play less often.
So half as much. Yeah.
And then finally, there was some talk. Mark Cuban complained yesterday on Twitter, and Kevin Pelton corrected him, saying the reason that we have these, you know, one day between playoff games schedule, which is hard on the body, is the play-in tournament. And so we should really shorten the play-in tournament. And Kevin Pelton pointed out that no. The days involved in the from the start of the playoffs to the end of the playoffs has not, you know, has the first round to the end of the first round has not changed because of the play-in tournament. It's not the play-in tournament issue. Do you think this is a real issue that the NBA has to address? And is there any, I mean, we were just talking to Dan Devine about it, and he said the problem is the regular season is too long and they're not going to change it. Like, in the end, that's the problem. They're not going to change it, and so here we are.
I think Dan's assessment is correct on both counts. I think the regular season is too long, and I think they're not going to change it because they like making money from having games. I think what makes sense is to cut back the regular season by about 10 games. But you already added the play-in tournament, which gives you extra, like, higher stakes games, you know, TV games. And they're talking about adding some kind of mid-season tournament or whatever. I think they should scale back the regular season and put a little bit more air in the schedule. I wouldn't scale back the calendar. I just have fewer games in the calendar, but not a lot. Like, scale back by like 10 games or whatever. That's what they should do. I don't think they will. I personally know people who think they can fix this by having a schedule that's more regimented, that's a more NFL-like. You know, you play, you know what days the games are or whatever, and you can sort of fix some of this stuff. I don't know about that, but I know that's an idea that's out there.
Chris, thanks very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.